Hello and welcome to Bluebells Forever, a podcast with interviews of Bluebell dancers past and present. Join Sherry Lewis, a Bluebell herself, as she leads us on a journey through story and experience. And now here's Sherry.
Thank you for listening to Bluebells Forever podcast. We truly appreciate you listening to this. And we'd love that it is a worldwide community of people that were in the shows, people that are curious about the shows. And it matters to those of us in the show that we preserve this well. And so hearing these stories from the people who lived it is very important than just someone giving a history lesson. So besides the podcast, there is a book that is out on Amazon, which I have taken 84 of the interviews and condensed them down and then included incredibly beautiful photos of these performers in their glory days, as well as set designer and costume designers, wardrobe, singers. There's great stories in this book as well as here in the recording, but if you'd like it as a permanent keepsake on your coffee table, and this book is almost as big as a coffee table, it's huge, and it's because of all the beautiful photos. So that is on Amazon.com, and there's a digital version and a print version. So you could look out for that if you'd like to have yours as a keepsake. And also, if you'd like to help the podcast out, it really helps if we get review and rated and then share it with friends. We just want more people to know about us and to have this history live on even after we're long gone. So if you wouldn't mind doing a review on iTunes or Spotify, it would be truly appreciated. And now enjoy this next interview. Okay, I have to start out with the word legendary, that I have the legendary showgirls of the musical Follies, which is coming to Las Vegas. And people who hopefully heard the interview that comes before this with Tom and David, I have that right, just about what a big deal this is, that this show has never been performed in Las Vegas, which is interesting when you have showgirls in a show to finally have it there. And also the timing of it, of so many things going away in Las Vegas. We were just talking before we recorded about the Tropicana. Like, that feels like when we lost the Stardust and the Dunes, all these places that your generation and even mine, I think the Dunes was still going into the 80s. Those are gone, but at least we had the Tropicana. So knowing that that's coming down feels tragic. Yes. And even more important that we tell the stories of the dancers, but also the theaters, because there's like so many stories in those theaters of how many people graced those stages, walked down those staircases, wore those beautiful costumes. And so I love the premise. And maybe we'll talk about that. We get further into of what the storyline is of Follies, because it feels like it could not have come at a better time. When we're seeing these, you know, these things come down and people forgetting our stories and people thinking a showgirl is not what it is. So I feel like it's important to me that we redeem the class and elegance and persona of the showgirl and not let it just be what people might see out on the streets, you know, when you take your pictures of them. So we have legendary, beautiful, I have to say, the audience can't see you, but when you all sat down, I'm like, oh my gosh, these women are beautiful, classy. And we're sitting under a giant chandelier, which feels very appropriate for what we're going to do today. So I would like to just, I'll introduce you one at a time. And then we can do just a little bit of how old you are, because I know you're not supposed to ask a lady her age. But like you said, you have bragging rights, because it's amazing that you're going to be on stage performing and you hold such history in your brain and your body and your muscle memory. And so I think it's really great to know your age and to know that you're still doing it. So let's start with Cindy. And I want to say it right. Domaney. Is that right?
Yes.
So Cindy, can you tell a little bit like of where you grew up and then how you ended up in this business? And then a lot about your career, like where you danced in Vegas, outside of Vegas.
Okay. I grew up in San Fernando Valley, outside of Los Angeles, on a horse ranch. And we all took, my two sisters and I, I'm the youngest, we all took tap, ballet, and piano. My mother was a classical concert pianist. And my father gave me a pony when I was 5 years old for Christmas. And I just grew up riding horses and dancing. And when I went to USC for 2 years, and I quit and joined a show as a showgirl. That was my dream. And I never looked back. And my first show was with the Dorothy Dorvin Dancers, and we toured up and down the West Coast. Torino, Nevada, Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, San
Oh.
Francisco. And then we went back to Los Angeles. And the second show I was in, the star was Gypsy Rose Lee.
Oh my gosh.
This was 1955. I'm 90 years old. And
Amazing.
my roommate was Joni Salon. And we toured with Gypsy. And
Okay.
it was for 3 months. And Gypsy was so kind to us. And
Yeah.
also, we were in three productions, but Gypsy had four girls with her, and one had to leave. So she had me in the show as the fourth apprentice. But then those days there was no stripping. She wore Gibson girls, high necked, remember that? And she was wonderful to us. And when we got to Reno, I'll never forget this. One of the producers wanted his girlfriend to take the part that I was going to do. And Gypsy walked to the end of the stage and put her hands on her hips. And she shouted, "I'm the star of this show. And if Sidney Lynn Reed isn't up here, I'm not going on." And she turned around and she swaggered off.
Oh
Remember?
my
And so they had me up there.
God.
And she was
Cindy,
very literate and very kind.
can you share, because I think a lot of us know her name. Can you share a little bit like what she was known for and who she was, just in case people don't know who she is and what a big deal is that you got to be in a show with her?
Oh, well, they made a movie starring Natalie Wood about Gypsy. And her mother wanted to press her sister, Baby June, as the star in all of these shows where they traveled. And Gypsy became very famous as a stripper. And her sister, Baby June, if you see the movie, the girl who played her was an incredible dancer. And also, at the Thunderbird here in Las Vegas, Gypsy sister June Havoc was the star of the show, and I worked with both sisters.
Oh my
I'm the
goodness.
only one that worked with both of them, and June Havoc was just as sweet and kind as Gypsy Rose Lee.
Wow. So I have a question too, because you said you had your heart set on being a showgirl. What did you know about the showgirl? Because like I'm thinking this younger generation sees the internet, they see, like for me, I remember watching Love Boat had showgirls, the show Vegas had showgirls. But I mean, I lived in Seattle. I had never seen one of those shows, but I knew I wanted those feathers and I knew I wanted to do it. But I'm curious, when you had your heart set up, what was it you saw or that you knew of the showgirl even?
I really didn't know that much about it. I was doing Tahitian dancing and Hawaiian even while I was in high school, and Arabic and flamenco. I don't know where that came from, but I just wanted to be in a musical. I wanted to dance. And my family did not approve of it. The way I was raised, we weren't allowed to wear shorts or slacks in public.
Oh,
But
wow.
I love the music and of the show. My mother took us to every musical, Broadway musical, downtown Los Angeles at the Philharmonic Auditorium. And I think that's where that desire came from, the music and the dancing.
I've interviewed a lot of people, and it's interesting how most of us kind of buck the system. Like people want to do something else, and how we found our way on the stage is always very intriguing to me. Like maybe someone saw something you, some of us had no idea how to get there, but we found our way. I just feel like there's this pull to be on the stage and not know how we're going to get there. Maybe we had help, maybe we didn't, but the allure of the beautiful and to be on stage. So what shows did you do any in Las Vegas?
Yes, I worked at the Thunderbird
Okay, that's right.
in the 1950s. And I also worked at a very famous club in San Francisco called Bimbo's 365 Club. And what?
The Italian club too, across the street for
And we also worked at the Italian Village, yes,
Village, yeah.
with Gypsy.
Yeah.
Yes, when we were there. But my mother came up to San Francisco to see the show. And it was it was so beautiful, the wardrobe and the music. You would pay to be in the show, let alone get paid. And they were so classy and so lovely and so beautiful.
Did your family think it was okay once they saw what you were doing?
Well, then my mother saw that, and it was, you know, I think she was pleased that because it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like later on the other wonderful shows too. But during the 1950s, it was a lot different.
What was, how much dancing were you doing? Or was it a lot? Did you wear the big feather headdresses and
Oh
more of the
yes. Well, you
parading?
know, in those days we had routines that we also did.
The showgirls.
Oh yes, the
Yes.
showgirls. I remember Tropical Heat Wave
Oh, yeah.
and the Rampart Street Parade, and we had routines. We were showgirls. The dancers were the ones that really worked hard. But it was just beautiful to be able to wear those beautiful costumes into that beautiful music. But when I went to Hawaii, when Gypsy Rose Lee closed, and I fell in love with Hawaii, and I did Arabic dancing, Tahitian, flamenco, all of the ethnic dances. And I don't know where that came from. It must have been other lifetimes.
She does Tahitian better than the Tahitians.
Yeah, I just looked at it and did it.
Wow. That's interesting. I mean, it's like what people gravitate toward, you know, like sometimes you don't know why, but it's what helps us, probably helped you be a better showgirl too.
Oh yes,
That
and I did
ability to move
African
like that.
in Hawaii. I did African dancing. They said, now we take you to the darkest part of Africa, and I was the voodoo queen.
Really? Oh my
Yes,
gosh.
it was a wonderful experience.
Did you why did you stop? I'm always intrigued too. Like, you know, we do it for several years. Like, it sounds like you guys all did it for quite a while. Like, you had a long career because then either people have babies or other reasons, or your body
I
gives
got,
out.
yes, I got married. That's why I stopped.
Okay.
Yes.
So you and Joni were roommates for how long?
Was 3 months. 3 months.
Yeah.
Three months. Okay.
Yes.
Did
And we
your
made
paths
friends at
ever
his. Excuse me.
cross up again after that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we've been best friends
Yes, we're
Oh,
best
that's
years.
wonderful.
Yes.
Okay, because I'm going to come back to that question to see what it's like now to get to be on stage together after so many years. It's got to be
It's going to be,
wonderful to get to
you're
do that
right,
again.
it's going to be
It
wonderful.
is, yes.
And Joni was just gorgeous. She still is.
No.
She's been beautiful all her life and a fantastic dancer.
So let's go to you, Joni. Like, what, how you started dance, you know, what got you into it, and then, you know, into your career? Because sometimes it's like how we get from, yes, I want to be a dancer to actually making it happen.
Well, I was always very athletic, and I begged for 2 years to be able to take dance, and I think they finally realized it would be better if she did something more feminine than all these. Anyway, so at 9 I was able to start. I just always wanted to dance, and I still dance. I still take 3 classes a week.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What do you take? What do you,
86.
how old are you?
86.
Yoo-hoo! See, this is what we all need to hear. You're never too old, and it keeps you young. Like, it really makes a difference in your mental capacity and your body, your balance. I think
Right.
people say, oh, I'm too old to dance. Like, never, ever, ever.
That's right.
So you, how did you get into like the professional part to get anybody
Well,
help you or show you how to get there?
my teacher was also an agent, and so she saw that I had some talent and let me take my lessons free. So I was there every day, and she put me in her line of girls. I think I was 12 when we did casuals, you know, around locally in Long
Okay.
Beach, California. And I auditioned in LA to come to Vegas for the Riviera in 58, and I've been here ever since.
Well, so you're still living in Las Vegas.
Yes, I've danced on the strip for 25 years.
Oh my gosh. Because what was it, the Riviera? Because I can see the sign in my head, and I now I've seen it at the Boneyard, but it's one of those very beautiful ones that you see in movies too. I feel like a lot of the movies, the Riviera was the sign. Was it a big production number? What was it?
Yes,
What was it?
yeah,
Okay.
it was.
Were you showgirl, showgirl dancer? I
I
think the
was a
title's
dancer.
been confusing. Okay.
Yeah, dancer.
So you did it for 20 years? 20,
25,
25
maybe.
years. Did you do like contract to contract, like going to different producers or stay kind of in the same show or same at least producer for a while?
No, I'd stay for a few years and the show would end, or I'd get something better and I'd move on. Sometimes I was rehearsing for one show in the daytime and still doing the whole show at night. I didn't get a lot
Wow.
of sleep. I was raising two children at the time too.
That's a part I think is so amazing that, you know, I'm thinking the 60s and even but before that, like for women, our choice was maybe be a mom or a secretary, maybe a nurse, but that women could make their own money and you could have that job and raise your kids and have the freedom to, because that's the thing too, working at night and you can be home with your kids. Because there's, I've talked to so many moms that make it work. And I've talked to people that were shows that they're picking up their kids at 3 or 4 in the morning. And there's special babysitters for show people that have these
Oh.
wacky hours. So were you, how were you doing that too? Like getting up in the morning with children and working late at
Yes.
night?
Yeah, well, I was sleep deprived.
Oh, yeah, I bet.
Yeah. But I just loved it so much. I did it, you know. And my husband was also a musician, so his hours were the same as mine most often. But we had sitters that came and stayed at our house, so we didn't have any kooky hours for.
Oh yeah, kids didn't have to be picked up and thrown in the car.
Yeah.
So I have a question too of living there so long because I've talked to people that are my age, I'm in my 60s, that they talk about how much they've seen Vegas change because I'll be gone just for a couple of years and come back like, well, where's this or where's that? And you're missing, but you sometimes don't even know what it is, like what used to be there. But now, and it was always so weird because I remember seeing the huge billboards with the shows, you know, the especially like Jubilee or those big ones with all the feathers. And now when I come in, it's just like law lawyers for like injury claims and erectile dysfunction signs. I'm like, where is the glamour? But
Yes.
like, what is like for you to live there and see, you know, another building imploded and to see this gradual change, that's got to be hard because the 50s, I feel like that's when the celebrities, it was the Rat Pack and the shows were like, people would come from all over for that. And so celebrities backstage and then it kind of lost its glamour and became more corporate. But now, like, there's not, there's pictures, like, and there's statues of showgirls, but there's just doesn't, I don't know what that was like for you just to see that change while you're living there.
Oh, yes. Well, it's very sad. We're going to lose the Tropicana on April 2nd.
Yeah. Because I
Yeah.
saw Legends in concert there a couple years ago in that big, beautiful theater. And the, it's just, you just always think it's going to be there. It's always been there. So that's the last of the, man,
Yeah.
has that was that sad, or do you just get so used to it after so long? It's just part of life there that things just go away.
Yeah, well, it's sad, but my life never revolved around the strip other than to work there and go there, you know.
We'll come back to that too, like how this ties in with the show Follies too, because things go away and.
Yes.
That's why that story just really struck me as like timely. So
Yes.
thank you, Joni. We'll come back because I want to hear more like you guys collectively, where we can have it more
Okay.
conversational, like that
Okay.
this how this all comes about. So Anna Bailey, I would love to
Yes.
hear from you. And if you don't mind starting with your age, because I want to celebrate that.
Well, I'm 97, but
Yay.
seven
You would
young.
you'd never know. When you sat down,
I'm
like
kicking
there's
myself
no way
inside.
she's
You'd never
97.
know. No.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Oh, I said when you came in, I said there's no way she's 97. Like just
You're
because
97. I
you
mean,
look amazing, but even your posture, because that's when I
it's.
went to the reunion in Paris for the Bluebells,
Yes.
all the ages, everybody was standing so tall and they all
Just
looked, they just
something.
their poise doesn't seem to go
Yes.
away.
Chin
Like it
up,
just you
shoulders
still.
down, back straight, stomach in.
Yeah.
We grew up that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, so tell me about like your growing up of what got you into dance.
Well, I was always dancing around the house. So mother put me in dancing school when I was about 3 or 4. But I dropped out. I wasn't that good. Then she put me back in when I was about 10, and I stayed until I was about 15. And then when the girls went on strike at the Apollo Theater in Harlem on 125th Street, Mary Bruce Dancing School went into the Apollo. And then
really
case of the lights, and I still love the spotlight, you know, and I just love dancing. And that's how I got started at the Apollo. And then I stayed with Pearl Bailey for about, almost 10 years. And she always impressed me, go to Vegas. If you want to stay in the business, you have to be in Las Vegas. So I worked a long time with her. And then I came out here with the Clarence Robertson, and we went into the Moulin Rouge. And we were there for 6 months, with Sandy Room only, and the place closed. But I think there was a lot of mafia or something here during that time. Mm-hmm. And we took all the business, I think, out of the strip, because I think we were only doing a supper show and a midnight show, but we were doing a 2:30 show.
Oh.
So we kind of emptied out the strip, but everybody would be over there. Bill Cosby, Sammy Davis, just everybody, you know. It was really just an exciting time. And like I said, my husband was an entertainer. He was Bob Bailey, and he was a singer with Count Basie.
And he oh just my gosh.
with Vegas. He said, oh no, we're not going back east. We're staying here. And I'm still here. And he's still gone. You know?
Oh,
but I still love dancing, and I still like to dance around the house. And naturally, we did a lot of hard dancing, because I never was a showgirl. I was always a dancer.
Me too.
So we would do the watusi. We always had to do these numbers where we had to squat and all that stuff, which I didn't like, because I wanted thrilly. You know?
Yeah.
So, but
can I ask how tall you all are? Was it the same requirement, like 5'9"? Back then, too, was it required to be really tall, or was it a little bit different standard?
They did like the tall girls, yes. And I think that's why I always work, because they like the long legs, you mm-hmm. know, because you could kick high. And we were pretty good at that. We kicked so high that we could just see the back of our heels.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really just a exciting time. So I worked at the Dunes, and that was with Larry Steele and the other, Clarence Robertson. So in the Moulin Rouge. So I was pretty lucky here. But it was kind of a hostile atmosphere here, though. And I think that's why a lot of the entertainers would leave the strip and really come over to the west side of town. Mm-hmm. So that was actually happening. So I thought the town was a little backwards.
I really thought it was.
Yeah.
I was very ashamed of it.
It was very hostile there. Like even Bill Cosby and my husband Bob, they stopped him at the Tropicana, I think, at the doorway. They said, we don't care who you are, you're not coming in. Because Bob was trying to say, this is Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But well, I heard that about Sammy Davis Jr. too. Like he would perform, but they wouldn't let him through the front door.
Oh, it was terrible. It was terrible.
Yeah.
No, they would come by my house every day, because over there, they're making almost $20,000 a week down there. And they had to come over to somebody's house to eat and stuff like that. But I love Vegas now, and I wouldn't want to be anyplace else. But it was.
I love that your first thing was
when we came here.
Right. It was awful.
Yes.
I love that your first gig is the Apollo. Like, that's pretty big deal. Yeah. Nice little start.
I just always love show business. I just love the costumes and I just like being out front. And I was always lucky to be front of stage, you know, right front in the middle. Mm. And there's a couple of girls in town here now that maybe, you know, I like for you to meet them sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
They would be too shy, you know, but maybe I'll give the names to somebody, because I work with some of them. Yes.
I would love that. I just think all these stories that go back are so different.
Yeah, everybody has a different story.
Yeah. Yeah. Even within the same decades, but then
yes.
Depending on what show, did you yes. work constant? Do you always have a job? Were you going audition to audition?
I was always working because like I said, I worked for Pearl Bailey. So we went coast, you know, back and forth. On tour, constantly on tour. And like, just like you, my mother tried to tell me how to stay in school, but she looked, when the train left at the railroad, I was right there with my one suitcase.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
California, you know.
That's like in the movies. I'm leaving town.
It's really the truth. It's really the truth.
So Anna, I know that
you get to be family when you're in a show for 3 and 4.
Yes.
I mean, you're family. And when the show closed, it's really, really sad, you know, because you get very close when you're working together.
That's the hard part. Like when I've interviewed a lot of people that, you know, a 6 month contract, maybe a year, but mostly six months. And you start over, totally start over. Sometimes you might know someone, but you make a new family and then you leave that family. Yeah. And even getting home to your original family is not a given, because sometimes that's really hard when you're working to get back home. So you make your family who is around you, and it's a weird, wonderful, quirky family that is very interesting. It makes for great stories.
Yes.
So, Anne, I know that I read on there that you were the first African American showgirl on the strip.
Yes, I was very lucky, and they knew my husband, so it's not like I was trying to integrate. It's just that I think I could just do the steps and could do all of it. And so I was very lucky that I was never out of work in Vegas. Vegas was always very good to me.
Was and that Pearl Bailey show was the first one that you did in Vegas, or was it?
I think she was the first one that brought me here.
Yeah.
And then she would leave. And I even worked with her brother, Bill Bailey, the tap dancer.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. And so we had a good experience, and we were very popular at that time. And that was in the '50s.
Okay, the '50s.
Yeah.
I want to be asking this question too, because I know, like with Sammy Davis Jr., as big as they were, they still weren't treated well.
Oh no.
Were you the only African American woman in the show, or were there others? Because
I integrated a lot, and sometimes I worked with a group from Istanbul. They didn't even speak our language, but I kind of fit in with them. And that was in, I'm trying to think where a hotel that I think we were down on Fremont Street at that time. But I was always lucky to get in different shows. I kind of blend in with a lot of the shows.
And then you got to be featured like some front and center stuff too, right?
Yes, I was lucky. And working with Pearl, you always have to do a solo.
Really?
Make each girl, if you got 12 girls, each one had to come out there by themselves and do 3 or 4 choruses. So that means you'll have to change and change your routine so people wouldn't get tired of it.
Oh my gosh.
Then one time, I think I got a little nervous, and Bill Bailey said, "I think you're dancing faster than the music." So then I slowed down a little bit, you know. and I listened to the music and just groove with the music, you know, instead of
thing. I wish there I know there's photos I'm gonna get to see. I wish there was video.
Yes.
So I think like when I start hearing this, when the memories start coming, like the dressing rooms, do you guys have like dressing room stories of,
yes,
because it is like you have the time on stage, and sometimes it felt like the show was interrupting our fun backstage.
Yeah.
Like get on stage. Like, fun. No, we were having great conversation. We were playing video. We were playing games or something.
Yeah.
So that camaraderie is wonderful. Do you guys have any backstage stories of fun antics or shenanigans or anything?
Any jealousy or anything like that? I don't think we had anything like that. Everybody go out there and did the very best you could, but there was no jealousy or anything like that. There was no—I don't remember any arguments with the girls.
No.
Oh, only that somebody might take your makeup or take your mascara, or, you know, or take your pancake makeup. I think that's the only arguments that I remember. Otherwise, we were so glad to be working.
Everybody got along, and the friendships that come, because you get to know people sitting backstage, not wearing much for hours, and you know, like getting ready afterwards. I think that part stands out to me the most is the backstage. Like we had birthday parties, and you know, there's always good gossip and just fun stuff. But how about Joni or Cindy? Do you guys have any memories or thoughts that come up about even just like dressing room time?
Can you think of anything? Only one.
That might be a weird question.
I know what you're thinking.
I know.
Tell us. Come on.
This was when we were with Gypsy Rosalie, and I forgot where we were, but this the one of the showgirls was hogging the mirror, and so I think I said something about, can we have a turn or whatever, and she started choking me.
She scratched.
Oh my gosh!
With her fingernails and left bloody.
Oh my gosh!
Go out on stage.
Wow.
Yeah, that was.
Did someone break it up, or did it just?
No, because the music started and
we had to go.
Oh my gosh. And see running on stage after a choking thing backstage.
And I was laughing the whole time because I guess nervous laughter, but that she would be doing that to me.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny.
I hear some once in a while, but most of the time I think that people get along because somebody even asked, you know, like, because sometimes people like, even, did you know you're beautiful? I'm like, well, you were surrounded by beautiful people. There was no reason to compete because you all got in. You're all talented. You're all beautiful. So it doesn't seem like the same thing, like in school, like, oh, that one's a pretty one. That's a popular, like you're all in, like there's not much reason to compete unless you're trying to get a solo.
No, you know, I think we wanted everybody to look good. Like I would think, I hope that she looks beautiful and people will think that. We didn't want anybody to go out there and not, you know, not really perform or look good.
Like
we praised each other.
Mm-hmm. So it would have been harder to keep in touch back then because I lost touch with so many people because our married name was different. The address we used to have for the parents was no longer good, but social media helped us find each other. For you guys stayed friends. How, like, I feel like, were there people you lost contact that you found lately? Because that's why I love these reunion stories of people that might be 50 years went by and then they reconnect.
What about you?
Well, a lot of my friends stayed here. So, yeah. And then, of course, I've made other friends. So I was in a group called, what was it? Las Vegas Follies, Rich Rizzo. It was for women 55 plus. And when I started with him, I was 70. And that was a lot of fun.
Can you tell a little bit more about that? Because I know that there's been Golden Girls. There's different titles of bringing back these showgirls instead of like, oh, bless their heart. They're like, oh my gosh, they still look beautiful. They still have that posture. They still have that poise. What was that like to get back on stage then at 70?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed more the classes. I wasn't dying to get on stage, but you know, it went with the package. So I did enjoy it. I did enjoy it.
We also did clog dancing.
Oh, yes. Cindy and I took clog dancing.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, that was so much fun.
Yeah.
You guys have a lot of style variation between you all. That's great. Because, well, I mean, like, some people only did ballet, but you guys have been exposed to so much more.
Oh, jazz is my thing.
Is it?
I was teaching. Yes, that's what I taught.
Jazz. Did you ever dance at backstage? Because I feel like in the 70s and 80s, maybe a little bit longer, like the backstage was the place to go. But I know that other studios have come and gone, but that one has a lot of longevity. If you're a class taker.
Yeah. I did take from the, when Ron Lewis taught, I would take his classes.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's, oh yeah, love that style.
Yeah,
it would break my body in half right now. But back then, that was like when you were sweating that your eyelashes fell off, you knew you'd had a really good dance experience.
Right, right. Well, I worked for him. Well,
you
for
did?
Him 3 years. Yeah.
Which show was that, or where was it? Is that Dunes?
At the Dunes. Yeah. I started at the Dunes with Guys and Dolls with Betty Grable and Ed Daly. And
oh my gosh.
Then I auditioned for Ronnie. And it was the star policy. And then after that, he put me in Beverly Girls. And I did two of those. So that was several years. And then I went into Casino de Paris.
Yeah.
And then Frederick asked for me to go into Florence and Frederick at the Trop. And I couldn't because Don Arden had already signed me for the Desert Inn. He saw me in the Girls and signed me up.
I forgot. Yeah, Don Arden had the Desert Inn for a while.
Oh, for a long time.
Was Miss Bluebell connected? Were they doing things together at that point? or was it like Miss Bluebell?
Oh,
was
no, not at the DI.
Okay, that was okay.
Yeah,
was that more balletic?
Beg pardon?
No, I think it was a different show, different title. I think that was one that was more balletic. That was Ron Lewis or some, or Frederick Abquhart, that was more balletic back in. I might be getting that all backwards.
Well, Ron Lewis choreographed for Frederick Abquhart.
Yeah, yeah. I always wanted to do. I worked with Joan Palethorpe, which I loved because I would go see all those shows and go, that's what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so fun to wear a beautiful showgirl costume and walk, but it's also really fun to just full out two shows a night. And yeah,
well,
to be young girls, again.
Beverly Girls was three shows a night, 11, 1, and 3 in the morning.
And every night? Not just weekends.
We had Tuesday off.
Oh my gosh. But okay, because I've done three shows like Saturday, but not like every night.
Right, every night. And
oh
that
my
was
gosh.
That was Ron Lewis.
Yeah, that's that one show would be enough to wipe out our dancers nowadays. Because I look at some of those videos and I look at I have a dance studio in Seattle, and you know, it's a little bit more relaxed. We don't slam to our knees and we don't whip our head around like we did.
Yeah.
Probably for good reason. But I'm like, I don't know that our younger dancers could do the choreography as far as stamina and the athleticism that those shows had in them. And yeah, those were hard, hard shows. And if people think showgirl just walking around, like that's not all that was going on stage.
No, I wasn't a showgirl. I became a showgirl when I learned to ice skate. That was the last show. I had 3 weeks to learn to ice skate. I'd never been on skates before.
Oh my gosh. Wow. We just do it. Like, okay, that makes sense. I want to do it. Yeah, because I know you were a dancer, and then like there's some showgirl. So let's talk about this show too. I want to hear how you even found out about it and what your response was when you hear it's even coming. And that there's an opportunity to be in it. Like, can you each share what that was like to get this message and this news?
I don't remember how I heard about it. I just, did you know Ron Marin? He was doing the choreography for it.
Mm.
And he knew, we didn't know each other, but I knew of him and he knew of me. So he said, if you could go around the rink in skate rentals and not fall down, you've got the job. So that's what I did.
Wow. So now for all three of you, with Follies coming, so did they know how to find you or did you audition? Like, I'm just so curious because you're legendary and this show, you have to have actors and singers, and but you have to have people portray this style well, because like when you watch something done not respectfully of the art form, it's really hard. And Liz, when I've interviewed David and Tom, it sounds like there's so much respect for the showgirl and the legend and the class. And so how they cast this is really important, especially in Vegas. There's going to be a lot of former dancers, showgirls that are going to come see this show. And I think they're going to be really pleased to see how it's a reverence of the showgirl.
We have an adorable choreographer. Sarah, what is her name?
She really is good.
What? A big pardon?
LeClaire.
Yes. Sarah LeClaire. And she is marvelous and patient and sweet as she can be and very talented, very good choreographer. So it's a pleasure to do her work.
Yeah. So Anna and Cindy, how did you find out about this and become a part? Did you audition or?
No, I think they called me on the phone.
David, we know everybody.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, Bubba, yes, yes.
Yes.
And that's how I found out about it. Bubba Knight. I don't know, but I got a phone call and I showed up for rehearsal one day.
I love Bubba.
Showing up works.
I showed up.
Bubba did some shows with us when I was with Follies. With Rich Rizzo. Yeah.
Wow.
And he is so much fun.
He really is. Yes.
Wow. So to step back into, okay, I want to actually, Tom, would you mind adding a little bit, even though I've interviewed you, people may not, they might get this without. Can you talk about the story of Follies and why it's so significant of the theater that you've picked and that it's in Las Vegas, so that if people didn't hear that first interview, they can see how these girls to get back on a stage around a story that they lived?
Sure, I'd be happy to. And, you know, I just, again, listening to these incredible women and their stories about their lives here and the fabric of this city, I continue to be amazed that Follies has never been done here mm-hmm. before. It's just, you know, it's shocking, and the time is due for that. So, and you know, Follies was done in 1971 on Broadway. It won 7 Tony Awards. And it was, you know, probably the most expensive show on Broadway at the time because of all the costumes. And it has a very, very large cast. So when you're asking about kind of like what the plot is, because, you know, one of the misconceptions that we've had to deal with here is everybody thinking that this is going to be a Follies Bergère show, right? Yeah. And it's not. It is a Stephen Sondheim musical with a script and a score. And so in the Broadway version, it takes place, we're going to set it in Vegas, but it takes place in New York, on the stage of an old theater. It's called the Weissman Theater. And for about 20 or 25 years, there was an impresario, think, you know, Jerry Jackson, Florence Ziegfeld, who would do an annual Follies, just like what they used to do at the New Amsterdam Theater for many years. And that Follies, as you might know, Follies is really a variety show. So you would have the number with the big, with the beautiful women and the gorgeous costumes, and then you'd have a comedian, and then Will Rogers would come on and twirl a rope, and then someone else would come and sing a love song or whatever. So Follies takes place on the stage of this theater, and that impresario, whose name is Dimitri Weissman, has invited back all of the Follies performers and their spouses back for a reunion, a cast party, on the night before they are scheduled to tear the theater down next day. So it is a moment in time where you get to have all of these people who were in some cases in their prime 30, 40 years ago, back in that place one more time where they really were in the spotlight and in the limelight. And through the course of the evening, obviously, people, you see why they were so wonderful in the show, either because you're singing an individual number like I'm Still Here or Broadway Baby, or there's a Mirror Mirror number where one of the women in the show finds a box of shoes or some props and says, oh, you know what, everybody, let's do that number we used to do years ago. Remember that Mirror Mirror, Who's That Woman number? Let's do it. So you get all of that memory that seeps back into this. What makes the show more, it makes it more wonderful, but also more complicated, and why it isn't done more often, is because in addition to about 20 of the kind of lead cast members, many of the leads also have a younger self. So you get to see these people when they were younger in their Follies numbers, and in some cases they interact with each other and they may have arguments with their younger self or their older mm-hmm. self. So that automatically makes the cast larger. And then, of course, in addition to that, guess what? The theater is haunted with the ghosts of old former showgirls. For us in Vegas, we will have actresses portraying, kind of walking mystically through the theater. Everybody from Vegas Vicky to Miss Atomic to Miss Dynamite to Miss Neon, and they're kind of watching the theater. They've been watching over the theater for many years, and it's all the memories that seep back. And you realize with Follies that everything has its time. Everything, you know, a lot, as I think there's a line in the show that says everything beautiful must die also. Mm-hmm. But I think the main reason that we are so elated about doing this show is because it celebrates the heartbeat of Vegas, which is the showgirl. And being able to bring back to the stage not just the wonderfully talented actors and singers that we have today, but 12 legendary showgirls who who probably never thought they'd be back on a stage again, you know, with the muscle memory that they have in doing this. But they will be there in all of their glory, and they deserve to be saluted and celebrated and recognized just like the history of Vegas. So that's why Follies is being done here.
Wow. Thank you, Tom. That's really good. Because if people didn't hear the interview I did with you and David, this is really important to know the context of why these legends, it matters even more hearing that part. I went to the reunion.
It winds up being all in total. It's the biggest live theater event in Las Vegas this year because it's a cast of 45, a 26-piece orchestra, 12 legendary showgirls, and it takes between, including the creative team, it will, and all of the other people involved, it takes about 90 people to do this show. But at the end of the production, the performance, there will be over 70 people on stage, including the orchestra, which is really going to be an amazing thing to behold.
Oh my God. Can you tell us which theater is? Because I know that there's some significance even that you're not doing it.
Yeah.
The theater matters.
Right. We're doing this. We actually explored a lot of the theaters on the Strip. And if you were doing a show, if we were trying to do this in New York, being far ahead of it would be to your advantage because people and theaters book, you know, months and years in advance. Here, having a show that we wanted to do a year and a half out was a liability because a lot of the, and particularly because we were not looking to do a long run of this. So I think a lot of the theaters had nothing to do with Follies. They just were reticent to block in a week or 10 days into a theater where they might get a long run of something else. And all of a sudden smack in the middle of it, there's a production that, you know, that's coming in for a limited period of time. So we wound up ultimately, and by the way, it actually happened because we looked very seriously at the Orleans here, which is owned by Boyd Gaming, and it was booked because now they're doing a full long run of Jersey Boys, which is going, you know, hypothetically all year long. So they suggested and recommended another wonderful theater to us at Aliante, which is in North Las Vegas. It's a beautiful property. Initially built as a station casinos and then sold to Boyd, but it has a state of the art 600 seat theater. It's got a very wide proscenium, which is wonderful for Follies. It's a great place for a staycation or for people coming in from out of town because it's a resort with a spa and everything else. And it's just really beautiful. And they have been so kind and so welcoming to us that they, along with our partnerships with the Neon Museum and the Showgirl Legacy Foundation and the Jazz Joy Orchestra and now the Liberace Mansion for the cast party.
I'm so excited about that.
We could not ask for five better partners.
Oh my gosh.
They are definitely one. So it's at Aliante. It's about maybe 20 minutes from Summerlin or 20 minutes from the Strip. If you're coming from New York, it's about 2,000 miles from New York.
I have a friend that's coming for Follies, and we're meeting up. We're making.
We're hearing it kind of from all over the place that people are coming in from New York, coming in from Los Angeles. But I don't care. I mean, we're honored wherever anybody comes from. But I just know this: this will be such a magical event that a year from now, we will all be saying, we know we will hear people say, were you there? Did you see it? Did you see that production of Follies? And I know we'll do it justice.
I have a friend that just gave me boxes of gowns because she used to be a cabaret. And I'm like, where am I getting? Oh, I'm going to Vegas. Can I wear a long gown? Is this a dress up event?
Yes, opening night is black tie.
Okay, I'm coming the 12th, but I'm like, we don't dress up for theater anymore. And there's something that feels, if this is special,
I think
go back to that glamorous way to see a show, even.
I think there will be people who absolutely dress up for this because this is an event. So,
yeah.
And by the way, I should mention, if any of your listeners are interested and they're here or around, we have a lot of information on our website, which is showgirls with an S, showgirlscomehome.com. And there are 6 performances and they're selling really, really well. And I'm sure all 6 will sell out.
Okay. Yeah, because this is going to come out And mid and February. So we want to make sure people get on it quick.
It's it's April. The shows are April the 11th through the 14th. And it's showgirlscomehome.com. And you know what? When we saw these amazing ladies and their nine other counterparts back in a dance studio, I think it was Anna that said, "We've come home."
I want to ask about that too, the rehearsal, because I went to the Bluebell reunion in Paris 2019, and there was an option to take a dance class on the stage, and I'd had two hip replacements. Like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. And I signed up, and there's only 20 of us. Just being backstage, I felt it in my body, what it felt like to be backstage, and you could see the costumes hanging. And then they put the staircase up for us ladies so that we could experience, because staircase is such a part of it. And we all were crying at the end. It was maybe a half hour class, but just being on stage, everybody goes, I remember this. I remember what it felt like that body memory. It was visceral. People were like, why did I stop dancing? But we had this bond, you know, because it, for me, it had been 40 something years. Most of it had been like 40 years since we'd been on a stage, some longer, but it was beautiful to do by yourself, but it was really magical to do with each other. We'd catch moments on stage and look at each other and go, I can't believe we get to do this. We get to be back where we felt like such energy and life and connection. So I'm curious to hear from you, like what, I mean, that first rehearsal, like, you know, putting dance clothes on, how's your body doing? Wearing high heels again, standing, like, you know, cause we're not, none of us are 20 anymore. So it's going to be hard, but I'm just curious like that, how your body did, but also your soul and your heart to be back with other dancers getting to experience this.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm coming down with a little cold. Yes, and almost didn't come tonight. And so I got I got some medicine in me, and I missed your corset. I'm so sorry.
Oh, what did it feel like being back in the studio again?
Oh, it just felt like I was back home. I was so happy just to feel it. And because your body knows that you're out there moving again, and you're just so happy and happy about it. I was just glad. I could hardly sleep that night. I was so excited.
Oh, I bet.
Yes.
And it felt familiar. Sure, like you said,
I'm not in good shape tonight. You know?
No, you're doing great. Okay. And I asked like three questions in one. But it was like, because I just imagine you guys getting back in there and probably some nerves. And will my body be able to do this? And then you're seeing people that are also, you're not having to go dance with 20-year-olds. You get to be in there with some womanly women who lived a lot of life, who get to come out there and be celebrated that you're not 20. Like, I think that there's something so beautiful of how you guys are being represented as legendary and iconic, and bow down to these women that did this and are still doing it. So yeah. How was that for you, Joni, to step back in? Were you nervous? And then walking into a studio and knowing you're going to get some good challenges?
Oh yes. Yes. And speaking of, our choreographer is very young. She's in her 20s. So, yeah.
Did your bodies hurt after rehearsals?
No. I was fortunate, but I take three classes of dance classes a week as it is. So,
you're ready to go.
Yeah.
How about for you, Cindy? How was that for you to walk back into a dance class and know you're going to be on stage in a matter of, you know, not that far off?
It's wonderful. It really is. And, you know, when I went to USC, I took dance workshop for semesters. And in the summertime, they had a flamenco dancer who danced with the gypsies during the Second World War in Granada. Mm-hmm. And I took that class. And I also had a scholarship with Sarita Camargo. She taught me isolation movement and all these different things, you know. It was really a wonderful background. And I think that's why I wanted to be in a show.
Do you guys have any nervousness that when you open, I mean, you still got months to prepare. How far are you into the rehearsals? Have you?
2 days.
Oh, it's only been two. Oh, I love it. I get to get you guys fresh. Fresh. Wow. And it's like even the brain, because I know a lot of people, like I have dancers that come back in their 40s sometimes, and they said, my body's mostly doing it, but my brain is not picking up anymore. How was that for you? Also, if you're taking class 3 days a week, that helps, because the brain, you know, it's a little bit harder to pick up and retain. But how has that been for you all?
Well, my brain, I have no problem with it.
Yeah. Well, they say dance keeps us
I have one
younger.
leg that has two steel rods in it on each side. So my balance is not like it was.
Yeah.
But it was
I think I'm taking a little brain medication, you know, to get me sharp again. I'm taking iron. I'm taking multiple vitamins, everything.
And drink your water. Keep drinking your water.
Yes.
Are you wearing heels in the show?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I remember I could run in heels. And now when I put them on, like 5 minutes into it, my feet hurt so bad. I'm like, how did I do this? So, you know, if you're rehearsing for long hours, that's the part that had me thinking that would be hard, was just putting the heels back on and getting your balance back and, like, you know, like working your feet again. How has that been? Have you guys put the heels on yet?
No.
Not yet? Okay. No. Please send video when you all do that the first time.
Yeah, next rehearsal, I'll brave it.
Yeah, I went to Capizio, and I did buy some dancing shoes that has like a little inch and a half heel, because last time I was just had my sneakers, and you can't point good with your sneakers.
Yeah,
so Capizio, they have a nice variety of nice shoes.
Oh yeah,
there, yes,
that's where I get my jazz shoes too.
Oh no, kidding! Yeah. I saw some of the shoes with the webbing on the side that maybe you had it on.
No.
Oh, but those were nice, but I didn't buy those though. But I just bought the ones that I was familiar with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't get too fancy.
Me neither.
So I'm putting those shoes. Have you seen the costumes, sketches of them, or the actual costumes, what you're going to be wearing?
No.
No, we haven't seen them.
Oh, that's going to be that's going to be fun when you get to see. So,
know,
Tom, do you know what?
We can't have too much exposed.
You know? Yeah, yeah. You're not going to go topless for this one.
So I just hope that you'll do the right thing by us. You know,
I was like a little.
Any uplift we can get, it'll be a help.
Oh my gosh, Tom, what are their costumes going to be? Are they like the classic, like Ziegfeld kind of folly costumes because they're representing a certain era, or what will they be wearing?
So it's a mix of different. Part of this is that the guests who are coming to this show are kind of dressed as you would be if you were going to a reception or a reunion. So there's a lot of evening wear that's actually worn in this, but you have to be able to dance in it as well. So, and then you know, there are custom costumes that are being done for the ghosts and for the dancers and for the other and for some of the other guests, but a lot of the and then we got a couple of costume surprises too that we won't unveil now, but there will be plenty of the beautiful showgirl costumes mixed in with the reality of this is a cast party reunion for a lot of these guests as well. So it straddles both lines, and some of it's in memory and some of it's real. So, but we will absolutely make sure that, you know, that we're not putting the legendary showgirls in skimpy little things, and we're going to make sure that they are properly, the proper homage is done for them, that they're happy and comfortable being able to do what they need to do in the outfits they're wearing.
Are any of these ladies that I'm sitting across from, are they any of them the ghosts?
No, right?
That's
no.
Different characters that will, it's that's the ghosts are kind of them, their younger self.
Yes, that's
okay.
That's correct. None of the legendaries are ghosts.
Okay. They're at the reunion as
guests. Yes.
I am so excited to see the show, especially hearing these stories. I'm so excited because I'm going to be in Vegas seeing it. If I saw it on Broadway, it'd be different, but to be in Vegas and seeing, and now hearing your story, I hope you guys sell out fast, but this is so exciting. And to know that you didn't just hire dancer actor, you actually hire people that have this in their body. They know this.
Well, and you know, let me say that was one thing that we were very blessed with was, if we were doing this show in most other cities in the country, unless you would bring in folks from the outside, you wouldn't have these legendary folks kind of in your backyard, right? Most parts would be played by actors and actresses, even on Broadway, with the exception of And I think we may have mentioned or talked about this a little bit in our first podcast, that for the original production of Follies, they some of the folks came to Vegas to look for showgirls because they wanted really tall women to be the ghosts in this. So Ursula, I forget her last name, but the woman, there was a woman named Ursula, Ursula Meyerbosher, was one of the most iconic figures representing Follies, and she was a Vegas showgirl because she was so tall and she was kind of iconically used. She was 6'2". So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we're just very blessed. Bottom line is, we're just very blessed that that we have folks in our community who are here, because we wouldn't have that in almost any other place.
I just think when those of us who did these shows see the show, it will mean even more knowing that these are the real thing and not actors playing at that. That feels like a beautiful tribute that can't be done by just acting. Like they know it. We are seeing them still on the stage. Cause now I'm thinking, like, when we all pass, what theater can we haunt? Because there's nothing left. We can go to Bally's. Like, where are we supposed to haunt? The buildings keep coming down. Cause we can have our own, a reunion of ghosts and tell our stories and our costume. Well,
you know, let me say this, if Boyd Gaming's okay with it, you guys are welcome to haunt Aliante after Follies.
Oh, perfect. Not. As long as there's cocktails and some good
but
snacks.
But I think you're going to have to sign some kind of a non-disclosure agreement with Boyd. But as long as you're okay with that, yeah, we can all, and I'm going with you. We'll all haunt Aliante.
We'll have the best stories. We will just sit and tell the stories of our showbiz days, and especially you guys that lived in that, you know, very decadent, but, well, even the mafia. I mean, as weird as that was, it's also like, was so confusing of what was going on, the crime, but also like the opulence and all that, that the showgirl was so revered and celebrities wanted to date or marry showgirls. And now we want to keep saying, this is who we are. So ladies, this has been amazing. And I'm so excited to see you. I'm going to be there on the 12th. And Tom, I get to meet them, right? Backstage. Yep. You said I get to come to the, I'm just putting out there. You said I'd come to the cast party, and that
absolutely
made me,
she's coming to the cast party with
I'm
us
so excited. I just love this, because I've been getting more into, I lived that life and didn't pay attention until a few years ago. And then I started the podcast, and now I'm like, oh my gosh, this time is gone. These were incredible stories, and we will keep telling them. I hope you guys, that your body hangs in there, and that when you're out there, that you get to feel the full joy of what you get to be a part of, and you will remember it in your body, what it felt like, you know, when you were in your heyday. Well, you're still in your heyday. You guys are representing so well, and it's really inspiring to see first how you're just sitting up so straight and how quick your minds are, and just like you're effervescent. And it's really good for us to see that, you know, keep moving, keep dancing, and you're going to stay young. So I look forward to see it. I just have one question for each of you to answer. What has this done for you, your heart and soul, to be a part of this, to come back to this part of your life?
Do you want to start with Cindy, since I...
Sure.
Yeah.
Sorry, Cindy, we put the camera right on you.
It's like full circle. It's just wonderful to be back in show business again. And to be with Anna and Joni, it's just wonderful. I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, man.
And we don't want to break a leg.
No. We'll just say live your best life. And what's so great is there's going to be photos and video that you will now have. Because I think, I wish I had photos and videos back then, but we didn't have that. So now you'll have all that stuff as keepsake of that you did it.
Right.
It's really great speaking with you. This has been a wonderful experience. First of all, I've done a podcast like this. So this has really been very enlightening for me too.
Oh, fun. Yeah.
You're a great interviewer. Really.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I just am so excited. I get like, okay, I got to like, okay, rein it in. Cause I'm just like, I just love talking to dancers and how everybody's story is so different. And you guys just have a very unique, beautiful thing, and that you get to do it again.
Yeah.
So, and Anna, is there anything that this has done for you to be back on the stage and part of this, that's done for your heart and soul?
When I think about it, I can't sleep. You know,
really? The excitement?
I think about it. And I just hope that I'll do my best, and I'll try to work very hard. And I'm very excited about it.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'm thinking about it every day. And My whole family knows about it. All my friends know about it. And I'm getting a lot of texts all of a sudden. I've gotten very popular.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. And I'm going to share that because I think what I really think is going to happen, I think when you get on that stage, your body's going to remember it. So. You're going to get to feel it and feel like you're yeah, whatever all the technique and all that stuff, your body is going to remember that. Like, this is what it felt like. And you get to relive it, which all of us would probably love to do. To just have that one more time on the stage, and you guys are going to do, you're going to do that for us. We're going to watch you out there, and you're going to feel like you're doing that for us, that we also get to experience it.
I think everything goes around in a circle.
Mm-hmm.
How nervous I was, and I'm so excited, and now it's going all the way around, and here we go again.
There we go again. Mm-hmm. Oh,
I know it'll all come back to us because like I said earlier, we love the spotlight, all of us.
Yes.
Be here,
right? Right. So, when people in my dance class, sometimes when they don't want to be seen, I'm like, if you're a dancer, that's kind of the point, is to be seen. Yeah. So, like, be seen, like, let everybody just like adore you out there, because I will be one of those. I will be out there, like, just like cheering you guys on. Joni, how about for you? What has this done for your heart and soul?
Oh, I'm very excited, very excited. I just can't imagine that this is happening.
Yeah,
like Cindy says. Going full circle, because she and I were danced together in 1955, and now here we are dancing again
in 2024. Isn't that incredible?
It's amazing. This is such a good story. And I hope that Vegas picks up on it too, that people that have these memories of these times will like get excited about it. And even if they don't get to see the show, like just to bring the enthusiasm back for like, mm-hmm. yeah, these were great times. These were beautiful shows and we got to be part of it.
Yeah. When we traveled with Gypsy Rose Lee, we had another roommate from Blackpool, England, Thelma Wood. Remember
mm-hmm.
her?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I used to load her cigarettes and she'd light them and it would go, pow.
And she'd say, who did that?
Oh my gosh.
She never did.
She never
did. Really? My gosh. And Tom, thank you for arranging this. And if you've got more, we're going to build this up and the photos. I'm so excited, ladies, to see your photos, because these are different than what we're going to see from Jubilee and all that. We're going to see a different style of the costumes and that era. So whatever we have, whatever we can sell or get up for these photos, we're going to share these and get people excited about the show. So
great.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I just hope all your rehearsals are smooth and your brain is always working and that you guys get rest and eat and make sure you drink water. Always just make sure you drink water.
That's the secret.
Yeah. Take care of those
We're
muscles.
We're looking forward to meeting you too.
I am so excited to meet you guys in person. So I'll be cheering out in the audience. So thank you all. Best. And I will see you in a few months.
All right.
Okay, great.
So I'm going to finish recording, but we'll say our goodbye separate.
Yeah. Okay.